Oh, so Pastor Brad is in, and Andrea and family, they are in Omaha this week visiting Brad's family. They were in Arkansas 2 weeks ago, so it's kind of once they could travel, let's go see our families. I think this is their first time seeing grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and cousins in 2 years. And so please remember Brad and Andrea and family in their prayers. They'll be back this week. Brad will be joining us next week. Also, if you wouldn't mind, if you can be praying for my wife, Aaliyah. After starting about last Sunday, Monday, just getting over a cold, right, normal stuff. And you know how sometimes you get a cough, and then you just can't get rid of that cough. And then eventually the cough, it irritates you to no end. And so there was a couple nights this week where she's like, I cannot sleep because every time I try to go to sleep, I start coughing. So anyway, she's just at home resting her voice, resting up. So please be praying for Aaliyah as well. When Brad talked to me about this day, it was essentially like, Tyler, meet Deep End. Deep End, meet Tyler. Because I want you to lead worship and give a message. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, no problem, boss man. So you guys get a double serving of Tyler today, and thank you. The goal for today is really that you guys as St. Paul get a better idea of who we are, who the Rolfsons are, and why did God bring us to Connecticut? And because I don't like talking about myself too much, we're gonna get into what I think God is saying to us around this idea of calling. But first, we got here. What, about a month ago already? It's been the fastest month ever. A story that stuck out in my mind. So we live up in Bethel. I went to a grocery store near there on maybe day four. And so it was our first time in this grocery store. I pick up a few things, and the lady at the register said, do you have a store card? I said, oh, not yet, not yet. We just got into town. Their first time through the store. This is a great store. And she said, well, would you like one? I said, oh, sure. And before I could even say sure, the clerk behind me, she got my attention. She said, you got your license? And I said, what? She said, do you got your license? I said, yeah, I think so. And she said, hand it over. I was like, okay, strange authoritative lady, here you go. And literally within 14 seconds, she went to the counter and back, had my card. She said, here you go. Have a great day, son. I was like, you hear about Southern hospitality. You hear about Midwest. I feel that was the epitome of Northeastern hospitality, right? It's very kind, very gracious, but to the point. And so I have a store card now, which is saving us on groceries. God bless him. Yeah. So our story, Aaliyah and I, we both grew up, born and raised in Omaha, in Nebraska there, and at King of Kings. So by the time we were both working there, we were serving and leading and on staff at the church that grew up, so where we grew up. So we were sending our kids to the same children's ministry that we went through, which is kind of crazy. And Aaliyah and I met in high school. She's actually a year older than me. What a romantic story, right? On the youth worship team. I was a dorky little keyboard player who's like, I can play some chords. And she, of course, had this beautiful voice. We did not start dating right away. She was like, there's out of your league, and then there's out of the hemisphere. And she was that for me. And so we went through high school. She did a year of Bible college in Kansas City. And that would have been my senior year of high school. We actually recorded a student worship album together, which I'd be a little embarrassed actually to hand to you at this point, because that was already 10 years ago. But it was cool that we did it. And then I went to school in Baylor in Waco, Texas. The Lord led us down there. Some great stories of provision to make that possible, because, man, the Baptists have great education, but ain't cheap. And so I went down to Baylor. And then the summer after my first year, Aaliyah at that time was working for Pastor Brad in the youth department at King of Kings as his worship leader. And that's when I said, hey, would you be interested in dating, in so many words? And that's when we started dating. The next summer, we were engaged. And at that point, it was an interesting scenario because we were like, yeah, we feel like we should get married. We were young at the time. I was 20, she was 21. But I still had a year and a half to 2 years of school left. And she wasn't too excited about uprooting and leaving Omaha for Waco, Texas. And it was just interesting how the Lord arranged things in that season, because at that time, King of Kings was looking for a full-time worship director. They had been doing that for about 2 or 3 years. Aaliyah was on staff there. And so we just kind of worked out this amazing God-ordained deal where I paused undergrad studies, started the job at King of Kings. Aaliyah and I got married in 2014. And then I took some online classes and some other things that would transfer. And then we had one final semester in Waco at Baylor. And I had started my Baylor journey kind of thinking, oh, I'll like double major and get a couple minors or get 5 minors, you know, just kind of go whatever. And by the time I graduated, I got like 1 credit over what I needed to get the BA. That's all I did. So I have the degree, it's just like nothing more than that. But we were able to work that out to where we spent that one semester in Waco. We flew back once a month to Omaha to lead worship. We planned a giant Easter service remotely. It was crazy. And then in 2015, that summer after I graduated, that's when we settled down in Omaha, bought a house. Isla was born shortly after that. She's now 6. And then for the last 6 years, it has been, my goodness, just God's grace in the opportunities. I think about, like, I'm still pretty young. I'm 28. But at age 21, 22, the like, responsibilities that were handed to me for this very significant church, and I'm like, I don't think I would do that for myself now. but it really testifies to believing in people, right? And saying, we're going to let you fail. Not that I failed all the time, of course, but that's where I really learned. I really grew. And I'm praying that that formative season would just continue to bear fruit as God continues to lead. So since then, we now have a three and a half year old. He would correct me if I just said three. He said, no, Daddy, I'm 3 and a half. Named Theo. His full name is Theophilus for out of Acts 1 and Luke 1. And then we are expecting kid number 3 here in November. So that's us. I got to say, when Pastor Brad first called me back in February saying if I'd be open to a conversation, I know enough about the Lord's will to not just say, no, I'm not open to a conversation, Brad. But the other 99% of me was just like, I just don't see this happening. Because things were so good in Omaha. And honestly, it still would be if we were there. And all of our family is still there. And when I say all of our family, it's not just her parents and my parents. It's also all of our siblings, and then on top of that, our siblings' spouses and their siblings. So it's like this massive network of interconnected, like, no one shall leave the nest. No, they would never say that, of course. But just it in many ways, it just felt so, so good, and it was so good. And so when Brad first reached out, we said, sure, we'll chat, but we just don't see this going anywhere. And you know, the Lord just works in strange ways and often in ways that we don't expect. And so kind of every step of the process, something would happen either as we were praying or as we were going through life. We're just like, ooh, that doesn't feel like a coincidence. And then as the process went going, it just kind of, by the end, it added up to this sense for us saying, we think the Lord is calling us to Connecticut. So here we are. So I would imagine a question in your minds might be, Tyler, why? Why? Not like in a cynical, disapproving way, but just like it's curious, right? You're going from an established, scaled congregation to something on the smaller side. All of your family's there, you know, all those sorts of things. And so just out of curiosity, like, why? And what I want to talk to you about today is this idea of calling. This idea of the Lord's leadership in our lives and what does that look like? Because for us, when we came to the conclusion that the Lord indeed was calling us to serve him in Connecticut, that was both necessary and sufficient. Meaning that, of course, we needed that, right? But it's not like we needed God's invitation plus a bunch of other things. For us, it was like, if God's saying go, we go. And I think a lot of times, like in the world, the way you make life decisions, like, well, you make a pros con list, and if the pros outweigh the cons, whatever. And I think in the Christian life, all of those factors are included. But a lot of times it's saying, God, we want to discern what you're saying. And once we get to the point where we're saying, yes, God, this is what you're saying, we're going to act on it. And so we're going to spend some time today in this idea of calling, and specifically God-given callings. And so to get there, we're going to be in the first chapter of Jeremiah. If your Bible's with you, feel free to pull them out. It'll also be on the screen. Jeremiah 1 is just one of the great calling stories in Scripture. And there are so many of these kinds of stories. There's Abraham, there's Moses, there's Joshua, Deborah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jesus' disciples. You could even interpret Jesus' baptism as his calling story. Like, there's so many to choose from. And I think that should tell us something, is that God is in the business of setting people apart for his glory. God is in the business of setting you apart for his glory, setting me apart for his glory. And so we want to tune our ears and tune our hearts to these calling stories so that we can be ready for when the Lord is calling us. So Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So some translations say, I set you apart. I appointed you, this is to Jeremiah, a prophet to the nations. So God is saying, hey, this didn't just start when you were born, actually way before. And I've set you apart, Jeremiah. Jeremiah responds in verse 5. He says, then I said, ah, Lord God. If you ever had that moment, it's like, oh crap, is God speaking to me? Ah, Lord. Behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. I'm only a young guy. I don't know how to speak, and I'm pretty young. And that's what God responds. He says, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, this is the people that Jeremiah would be talking to, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. What a beautiful promise. I am with you, Jeremiah, for the purpose of delivering you. I'm going to see this through. So this little section of Jeremiah, you know, this is a grand, one-time kind of spotlight, highlight, life-altering kind of call. And I think sometimes the Lord operates like that. I'm sure as I get to know some of you, I'm going to hear stories of like, yeah, the Lord stopped me in my tracks, and like, this is what happened in my life. I think for others of us, it's as we're on this journey with Jesus, right? We're called disciples of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. That it's revealed season to season as we follow him. And certainly that's where Aaliyah and I would be. Like, we've had instances where before where it's like, yeah, the Lord's calling us to this. And then in this most recent season, as it was revealed, now the Lord's calling us here. And I think I just want to encourage us before we dive too deep into this text is like, when I say the Lord called us to Connecticut, I'm not saying that one random night in March we both wake up and the Lord has manifested his presence in our room and he says, behold, Tyler and Aaliyah, I am calling you to the land of the Connecticuters. Go, I shall be with you. Now, he very well could do that. I'm just saying that didn't happen in our case. And by the way, is that Connecticuter? No one knows. Okay. The fact that most of you shrugged tells me something. But nevertheless, I think we can draw out some principles of this kind of spotlight highlight moment of how God calls us. And this goes far beyond what many of us in the church can kind of think of like pastors and church workers and the people that are really doing ministry, right? No, this goes to each and every one of us, that God has a calling for you. He has an invitation for you, first certainly to be a follower of Jesus, but then to say, now what is this life of yours going to look like? Surrender to him. And we all have an invitation from God to step into our callings. So a few kind of principles that I think we can draw out of this Jeremiah passage. And first, if you're a note taker, feel free to write this down, is that God is at the center of the call. Our temptation is to think that we're at the center of this, right? Because it's my life, Lord. I don't want to mess it up, right? No, God is at the center. If you were to go back in that Jeremiah 1 passage, verse 4, how many times God is the subject? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you. God is establishing himself as the subject in this narrative, which hopefully should be freeing for us, right? So often we put so much pressure on ourselves to figure it out, right? Like, oh, what if I do this, if I do that? Like, what if I get it wrong? What if I'm disobeying God? Like all of those like fear-based mentalities. What Jeremiah is telling us is that his call is according to God's will and sovereignty and perfect plan. It's not according to Jeremiah's qualifications or CV or like willingness to figure it out. No, it's like, it's according to God. Now, Jeremiah needs to respond, of course, but the call itself, it's on God. And so it can be as clear as a spoken voice from heaven, as in Jeremiah's case. It could also just look like a process of discernment. Acts chapter 15, it's when the council of the early Christians get together and they're deciding this thing about like, well, what about non-Jews? Like, are they a part of our family too in Christ? And the statement that they say at the end is that it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes discernment looks like that, where it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. And so a few things that Aliyah and I learned in our discernment process, and so this is for any of you that I would say currently are in that kind of spot of like saying, God, where are you leading me? What's next? Or if you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a parent who's saying, what's next? Or just so you're free to put as an arrow in your quiver for whenever the season comes where the Lord's saying, here's what's next. So a few things that we learned in our process. One, it's like, Tyler, it seems so obvious, but like, actually pray. Like, don't just say, oh, we're praying about it. Like, actually spend time in prayer. And beyond that, have a prayerful mindset, right? So Paul talks about praying without ceasing. A lot of people have different ideas about that. But one of the things that means to me is that we're going through our day. We're fulfilling what God has asked us to do in that day. And we're just keeping our eyes open. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're saying, oh, that was an interesting conversation. And I think if we're willing to have our eyes open, we're probably going to see more things, right? And so we not only pray, we have a prayerful mindset. Another thing is that we consult trusted mentors or friends in the Lord. And all of us have a perspective. All of us have a bias. That's not a bad thing. It's just we all have them. And therefore, we're all fallible. And so I never want to just say, this is all on me. God, it's just God and me. No one else can speak. No, other people kind of need to speak into it. And then as they're speaking into it, you're also not taking their word as infallible. You're saying, no, you have a perspective and bias too, but I want to learn and grow. Like, speak into this for me. Kind of connected to the prayerful mindset and discernment, we want to recognize where doors are opening and where they're closing. Sometimes that's a way for God to say, Here's what's possible next. And then this is probably the most important thing that we learned is that there's going to be a period of waiting. There will be a period of waiting. And so the question is, what do you do in that period of waiting before you arrive at that answer of, yes, God's calling us? And I think what we do is that you do the things that you know you need to do, which means you don't need special direction from heaven to show up and tell you to love God and love your neighbor, right? Husbands, you don't need the physical presence of Jesus to come and tell you to love your wife as he loves the church. You have everything that you need to be a follower of Jesus right where you are. And my sense, and Pastor Matt will probably correct me as he's doing communion if this is wrong, but my sense is, like Jeremiah, the call will often find you. That doesn't mean we're not seeking, that doesn't mean we're not praying, doesn't mean we're not keeping our eyes open. But I don't think we need to put so much pressure on ourselves. If God is the subject, if God is at the center, the call will find us, because God is always pursuing us and seeking after us. I remember I was in Texas. I was a part of a great church down there. Oh, Lord, we pray for that emergency in the name of Jesus. We're a great church down there that just had an amazing reputation and track record for planting churches, not only nationally, but all throughout the world. I think when we were there, the number was around 70 or 80, just out of little Waco, Texas. It's like, what? And I actually think they have a plant up in Boston. I might have some friends up there. But so because of that, the college ministry, there was just kind of a pipeline for those that completed their degree and had some skills that they could take nationally, internationally, and then also plant a church with that. And so there's kind of this romantic attachment in our college ministry to planting churches, like, oh, I'm going to be a church planter and blah, blah, blah. I'm a church planter, whatever. And I was remember I was in a workshop, and the head over planting was speaking to probably like 40 or 50 college students. He said, here's the thing, guys. If you're not following Jesus in Waco, Texas, what makes you think that you're going to be following Jesus in Bangalore? And so it just kind of hit me. It's like, yeah, you might, like, just because you're located somewhere else, like, there are so many things that are the same. So many things are the same. All these things that are just part of the Christian life, part of following Jesus. You don't need special direction from the Lord. You have everything that you need to you in Scripture. And so do the things that you know you need to do. Another thing I think we can take away from this Jeremiah process is that because God is the one doing the calling, the call is going to be bigger than we can imagine. So what happens with Jeremiah? He says to this young, inexperienced guy in present-day Israel, land of Judah at the time, he said, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. You, Jeremiah, you're going to do it. And this is God's pattern all throughout Scripture, right? Abraham, he has descendants that'll be more than the stars he can see in the sky, but he and his wife are infertile, right? Abraham could not imagine that that would be the call. Moses is going to deliver an entire nation out of slavery, but he was a murderer. He thought he was disqualified. You see, these calls are big because our God is big. And here's what I love about Jeremiah 1 is that God remains integrally involved, right? So he says that last line. He says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. The reason that the project, the task will be seen through is because God is the one seeing it through. He's not just going to call us and then say, good luck. Remember to pray every now and again. He's involved in the accomplishing of the call. So, like, honestly, coming to Connecticut here, there's a lot of things we don't know, right? But we knew God said go, so we went. Where I'm placing my confidence and my trust right now is that same thing. Where God says, Tyler, I'm not going to leave you. St. Paul, I'm not going to leave you. I am going to be with you to deliver you, Janine. He's going to be with you to deliver you. I love the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Trusting the God who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. He can do immeasurably more. You might not have specifics. You don't have to have a blueprint of what it looks like. You just say, Lord, I want to trust in you that even my, like, my biggest thought, you're going to surprise me. I want to be ready for the surprise, Lord. So God's call is going to be bigger than we can imagine. And the last thing I think we can learn from Jeremiah here Well, there's a lot, but at least for today. So once we have a call, obeying God's call is going to be the best, most fulfilling way to live your life. But it does not make you immune from struggle and trials. Obeying God's call does not somehow put you in this position where you're untouchable, where bad things won't happen, where things won't go wrong. We learned this the hard way 3 weeks ago. All that rain came through. We had a gutter that wasn't quite connected to the rest of the gutters. And so it just pours to the gutter, dumps over, pools up at 3 a.m. in the morning. We go into our basement. And we're like, great. We've owned this house for 2 days. We already have water in the basement, right? If we go into obedience to the Lord's call with the expectation that therefore things will be peachy, everything will be fine. We're doing the hard thing. We're doing taking the faith step. Therefore, God will allow no more bad things to happen to us. No, it's just not happening. We have to expect that at some level, in some way, some things might not work out. That doesn't mean we heard wrong, right? It just means the exact promise out of John 16. Jesus was honest with his followers, right? He said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. I don't know the other translations. It could be other things. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you might be saying, God, you led me to this job. I'm so thankful for it, but I just cannot stand my boss right now. Right? How are you going to interpret that challenge? Are you going to persevere? Or are you going to say, well, maybe I heard wrong? Or man, if moms and dads in here, God bless you. Goodness, we have two. We have a third on the way. What were we thinking? But man, there are days where our calling, our vocation as mother and father, it's just like, Lord, I can't do it. It's hard. How are we going to interpret the challenges? Are we going to interpret them as saying, I missed it, God must not have been leading me, I need to go back into it? Or are you going to say, no, I had confidence in the call. Now I'm not going to be shaken in distress. Instead, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to do the things that I know I need to do, right? So it goes to your expectations. Resist that temptation to doubt your calling and instead persevere. Choose to persevere. And so to wrap up here, as we think about callings, and I hope as I've been talking, you're thinking about like, man, what has the Lord called me to? Either something you're already in or maybe a next season that God's leading you to. What does it look like when a community of Jesus followers, what does it look like when each of us say, we're gonna step into and press into our God-given callings? What's it going to look like? I think first, we're going to be marked by contentment. We're going to be content. We're not going to compare. We're not going to say what God called this person to versus what called that. No, it's like, no, if God's at the subject of this, we're going to be content. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what other people say, no, we're going to be marked by contentment. So that if someone were to walk in here in 3 to 6 months and we're living at that optimum of God's calling for our lives, they're going to be like, man, this is a people that the only reason they can be content is because Jesus, right? That's the kind of community of faith I want to be a part of, is that wherever we're at, wherever God's called us to, we've stepped up in courage to follow him, and now we're marked by contentment. Second thing is we will not give in to fear. God says to Jeremiah, do not be afraid, for I will be with you. He actually reiterates that at the end of chapter 1, if you're to keep reading verse 19. He said, they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Our God loves to speak to our fears. And so for me, you know, one of these things, I don't know if you know this, but the cost of living in Connecticut is significantly higher than Nebraska. And so when I have those moments where I'm just fearful financially, right? When I have those moments, at my best, I have prepared a reservoir of scriptural promises that speak to my fear. In the same way that God was there to speak to Jeremiah, I want God to speak to me my fears. And so financially, if that's you today, You want to put on a note card and memorize it. It's Philippians 4. My God will supply every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling in your marriage, struggling in your job, if you're fearful about what the future holds, if you're fearful about COVID, right? Like, fill your mind. Prepare that reservoir of scriptural promises that will speak to your fear so that we can be a community that is not ruled or governed by fear, because we're not going to give into it. If we're following our callings, if we're pressing to Jesus, we're not giving into it. And finally, this is one that I think most excites me, is that if we're all pressing to our callings, I think we're going to cheer each other on. I think moms are going to say to each other, say, hey, I know we don't know each other so well, but I love the way that you just had that conversation with your kid. That was so loving and direct. I think in your small group, you're going to say, man, this is hard for you in the season. Your boss is treating you terribly, but you've responded so humbly and graciously. Way to go. I think so often our level of conversation in the church can stay at that kind of safe level, right? Where it's like, talk about the weather, talk about job, something happened this week. But it's like there's a threshold that we're not going to cross. And there's wisdom in being safe with vulnerability. But if you're able to take the step here in the church and just say, point out one or two things every Sunday in your conversations, like, hey, I know you're at home with kids all day, every day. But man, like the way I've seen them grow in these last 9 months, like they're so generous with their words. Like, whatever it is, find a way to be specific and cheer each other on in our callings. If we are left alone, right, that's where the devil has his day. Cheer each other on. Root each other on. It can happen in words. It can happen in notes. It can happen in prayers, whatever it looks like. But be an advocate for one another so that if someone were to step into this community 6 months from now, they said, man, they really are for each other. They're really advocating for each other. Because we care about our callings. So inevitably, you're going to fall short in your various vocations, right? God's called you to be a mom and you lashed out at the kids. You're like, dang it, not again. God's called you to speak honorably of your coworkers and you let some gossip slip, right? You're going to fail. You will. Womp womp, right? And that's when you remember and you give thanks to the Lord. Because Jesus didn't shy away from his calling. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And because Jesus perfectly fulfilled his calling, you and I have a restored relationship with Jesus, with the Father, that then grace upon grace upon grace upon grace is supplied to you moment by moment, day by day, season by season. She's agreeing with me. It's for you to step into what God's called you to. So let's do it. Let's step with courage, step with faith, and do it together. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, as a community where we all could very well be in very different spots, where some of us know exactly that next thing that you're calling us to, and the word that you're speaking to us, Lord, is one of confidence. It's one of, yeah, don't doubt it. Keep going. There's others of us who are in the season of waiting. Say, we don't know what the next step is. We're praying. We're seeking. And God, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, Lord, that direction and clarity would come their way quickly. That, Lord, as they pray, as they read scripture, as they confer with trusted friends and mentors, God, as they do the things that they know they need to do in this journey of following Jesus, God, that you, as a good God, as a good provider, Lord, would bring direction and clarity and bring that next step. And Lord, for those of us that we say, yeah, we've been called to this point and we're thinking that God's saying, yeah, stick with it. Keep going. God, I pray for that grace to endure. Pray for the grace to not give up, to persevere, that when challenges come our way, that we'd say, yeah, Jesus said, he even told us this would happen, that we're going to have trouble. But man, you've overcome the world, Jesus. So we take heart, we continue, we persevere. And God, we gather all of these prayers together in your powerful name.